There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Chip Brown sitting in today for Sean Sullivan with my co-pilot, Dalton Orwick.
Almost.
A little tongue-tied there. Great to be sitting here with you today, Dalton, and talking national and local issues.
Yeah, there's just so much going on, and we've talked about a lot of stuff over that first hour, and I encourage you, if you're listening, if you want to give us a call or text, if there's anything on top of your mind you might want to discuss, 251-343-0106, that's the number you'll call or text. And we left off that last part of the first hour talking about that new defense bill that's headed towards President Trump's desk. It's the National Defense Authorization Act, and it passed through the Senate 87-10 vote yesterday. And here's a few more specifics on it. It's a $717 billion package, but it's approving a 2.6% pay raise for the troops, which is actually the largest pay raise in 9 years, and also adding 15,600 active duty personnel to the ranks of the military. It also authorizes spending on some various military programs. And you remember the military parade that was brought up when Trump...
Yes, I do.
It does. It clears the way for the military parade that Trump requested in Washington this fall. So I guess that means this fall, that military parade could be a real thing.
You know, I like to see that. You know, he took a lot of heat and a lot of shots on that. People saying, oh, it's a dictator-type move. It's things you see in the third world. But the reality is that used to be commonplace in America. I mean, you would routinely see military parades. In fact, one of my favorite photos is it's a photo, and then it's been turned into a painting as well, is Government Street with a military parade.
Really?
At the turn of the century, the turn of the last century, a military parade with the troops from Fort Morgan marching down the parade, down the route on Government Street. And that's, you know, over the years, it used to be commonplace that we all had connections with the military.
Mm-hmm.
You would have bases in your area. You knew people, the guys from Biloxi, the guys from whatever. And here in Mobile, we had, you know, Brooklyn Air Force Base. And then that was one of the reasons why during the Reagan administration that Ronald Reagan tried to create the home ports around the U.S. where, and we had the one here that's now... the Industrial Canal on the Deer River down on Hollinger's Island, that the purpose of that was that it would spread the fleet around, one, where they wouldn't be bottled up, so that easy for an attack. So if you hit Norfolk, you wouldn't knock out every ship in the fleet. But also the fact that it would give people an individual connection with the military. And I think that's important. So I like the idea of a parade.
Yeah, and I've come around on it because I fell in line with, you know, there were a lot of people when this military parade first came up in 2016 that were condemning it immediately. And they were comparing it to, of course, the North Korean military parades under Kim Jong-un and his dad, or the Russian parades we've seen where they think it's a show of... a kind of, I guess, a cynical show of force, if that's a way to describe it. But I don't picture this military parade actually. I don't think we're trying to show, hey, look at this. I mean, that might be a small part of it. Look at what we've got. But the North Koreans, the Russians, all these other dictatorships and autocrats that are having these military parades, that's not what I'm seeing that Trump might have pictured for this upcoming parade, especially if he puts Melania in charge. We know that it won't be like that at all.
Right.
But I think I would implore anybody that would be against this to maybe just check out a Blue Angels flight show or the Thunderbirds and think about those emotions you feel And maybe these people don't feel emotions when they see the Blue Angels fly over and the Thunderbirds or a chopper fly over at a game. Those are such powerful moments. And I just feel like, as Americans, if that actually happened and everybody was tuned in and watching this military parade that really was patriotic, I think it'd be a great thing.
I do, too. And things like that help with recruitment, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you're sitting at home, you're trying to focus on what you want to do with your life. And, you know, I joined the National Guard when I was 32 years old. And things like that are inspiring. I grew up, my father was in the military, retired as a colonel in the National Guard. My wife's mother retired as a colonel in the Army Reserve. And so we both grew up in that environment. And if you see that, the military, to me, is they're people that should be looked upon with awe and reverence. And those, I try every time I see, you know, someone wearing a hat, mm-hmm. that says I served in Vietnam, I served in World War II, whatever, I always try to go up and thank them. And I would encourage everyone to do that, because that means a lot. It's a humbling experience when someone comes up and says something to you. And so I look at things like a military parade as, one, it's a recruiting tool, but also it's a patriotic tool that shows respect for the military, and it shows the greatness that are the men and women that serve in uniform for our country.
Yeah, and if they can figure a way to get veterans involved in the military parade too, I mean, I just think that would be outstanding. But you just mentioned recruitment being a major tool towards recruitment, and that's been a major topic, not just during the Trump administration, his time in office in Washington, but for the past, I mean, I think the conversation's gone on for a long time, I wonder if it is more difficult to get people to join the military, if there's such an anti, it feels like, and I know there are a lot of people that are my age, millennials you would call, that are pro-American and do the same thing you said. When we see an active duty soldier that's on the plane, or if we see a veteran with a pin or a hat on, there are a lot of millennials that are out there that go up and say, you know, thank you for your service and everything you've done. But it seems like the common thought is that most young people are anti-government and anti-military and socialist. That seems to be the swirling narrative. I wonder, there's been a recent story. I think they're going to go a little bit more lax on drug screening, and then warfare is taking such a different path with all the technological advancements. I mean, all we've talked about for the last 2 years are hacking and drones, and there's still guys out there on the battlefield putting their life in danger and shooting real weapons, and there's guys out there flying planes. But what are your thoughts on this pay raise and trying to recruit, you know, soldiers?
Well, I think the pay raise aspect of it is important, because if you remember, not that long ago, really, and under the Clinton administration, and particularly in the Carter administration, you had soldiers, that stories coming out of soldiers that were living off of food stamps, that, you know, were living off base with family, they couldn't pay their rent, that sort of thing, because they weren't even, their salaries weren't keeping up with inflation. And it's important too, from a, you mentioned drones and technological advances, it's important to pay people what they could possibly earn in the civilian workforce, because that's how you recruit good, skilled individuals that have the knowledge and the ability and the technical know-how to fly drones, mm-hmm. and to fly, you know, work on satellites and what have you. I mean, any system, that even the weapon systems that we use today are so advanced that a soldier from just a few years ago might not be able to comprehend that. So it's just a different time, and keeping up with the pay raises is incredibly important.
Yeah, well, we got a lot more national news to talk about here, and maybe whatever's on your mind, if you want to give us a call, 251-343-0106. I'm Dalton Orwig. Chip Brown sitting in for Sean Sullivan today on Midday Mobile. Sean will be back very, very soon, and we will too. We'll actually be back much more sooner than, is that much more sooner? I don't know if that's correct, but we'll be back right after the break.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
120 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Midday Mobile. I'm Dalton Orwig. Chip Brown sitting in for Sean Sullivan today. And we've had some great discussions so far. We've had a little bit of local politics talk. Well, just local talk in general, talking about the I-10 River Bridge, which I don't know if you've seen. They've now pushed that back at least until 2025, where they say until that might be where it might be done.
Well, it's all a funding issue. You know, it's so much of that has to come from the federal government. The price tag is so huge that it just keeps getting pushed back. But anyone that's been in traffic on a Friday afternoon, especially during the summer.
No one around here, right?
Oh, sure. My gosh. I've missed so many meetings going back and forth across the bay because I get caught in traffic.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's so bad that at one point a couple weeks ago when everybody was stopped on the bridge, I think unfortunately for that boat crash underneath the causeway, that dog jumped off. He was done. He was tired of waiting. He went ahead and jumped off.
Couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, and his owner had to jump in, and they ended up safe, both the dog and the man who jumped in after him. But that's how bad it's gotten, where dogs don't even want to wait anymore on top of the bridge. We've also talked a little bit about the USA Stadium and Ladd Peebles, but lately we took it nationally. And we were recently talking about that military parade with that new defense bill that's on or headed towards Trump's desk for him to sign. And I'm surprised that the Senate can agree on anything, honestly. But 87-10 vote, Senate passed that through. And it's a big spending bill. But one of the things that was mentioned in there is it clears the way for the military parade. And right now on the phone lines, we have Damon in Mobile who wants to discuss that. Hey, Damon, how you doing?
Hey, Damon.
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I wanted to touch on the parade that Trump wants. Is it centered around a particular holiday, or is it just a parade to have at a set time that he wants?
You know, I'm not sure if it is. I think they were, and I don't want to, you know, guess wrong on this. I feel like they were saying November would maybe be around the time that they would do that, but they're looking for fall, and I'm not sure if they're looking to have it on a particular holiday or not. Do you know, Chip?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it would make sense to have it around a holiday, but I don't know the answer to that.
You know, I would honestly prefer that they don't have it on a holiday. I think the more days we have to honor our veterans and honor our active service members, the better. So why don't we just go ahead and make a new holiday? I'm down for that.
Well, the reason why I say that is because I kind of disagree, and it's not because I don't support the military or us having a strong defense. It's just the fact that when you do it on a day that's not a holiday, it makes people wonder what the motives are. And there's nothing wrong with showing a strong defense or anything, but it's always kind of been looked at as something that the military service, for some people, it's a necessary, but it's not something you glorify. I mean, I grew up in a city with 5 military bases, and just about everybody in town either was in the military or was married to somebody in the military or knew someone in there. And, you know, when they got out of the military and did other things, they didn't talk about it all the time. Or there were people that were in World War II, you know, unless you asked them to dig all that stuff out and talk about it, they really didn't talk about it. They wanted to live the rest of their lives. And there's countless stories about people who were, you know, war heroes who just put their things away in a trunk and, you know, and let that chapter close. And they honored it, but it's not something that they wanted to advertise and glorify. And also, Dwight Eisenhower, in his farewell address, said, you know, he warned the United States about the growing military-industrial complex and the dangers that poses. And he was a Republican. So, I mean, I don't want to get into party things one way or the other, but I'm a little leery of someone wanting to have a parade because it smacks of some of the imagery you see in fascist countries, not so much dictatorships, but just people trying to portray a certain image for their own motives that are suspect.
Well, I think you're talking about two separate issues here, though. You're talking about people not promoting their service in the military, and I agree with that. I mean, that plays right into the act of service and humility and doing your duty and that sort of thing. But if you go back and you look historically, during the Korean War, during World War II in particular, Mobile in itself had multiple military parades, and they were promoting the military. They were, you know, support for the military. And I think that by having a parade, it could put focus on the military itself. I tell you what, having been overseas during a time of war, the newspapers do not report what is going on around the world. As Americans, we move on to other issues, other topics, you know, who's dating whom, what's in People magazine, that sort of thing. And we don't pay attention to what's going on around the world. And I think that a lot of times the military feels like U.S., not that they don't care, but that they're focused on other things that, I don't know. I think it's, to me, it's important to shift and to show respect and to praise the people that are serving the military. And I think it helps with recruitment. There's an article came out today that the military is considering lowering some of their standards as it relates to drug offenses and prescription medicine and that sort of thing. And I think that's just part of society today. You have so many young people that take Ritalin and those sorts of things, attention deficit disorder drugs that have previously been barred from being in the military. So I think it's important to show respect for the military and could be used as a recruiting tool.
I totally agree, but it reminds me of the time when I think the Desert Storm was going on. They suspended all commercials promoting, you know, or trying to recruit people from military, and it seems like, logically, that's the time when you would do it or, you know, let them keep running, you know, be all you can be, but they totally stopped airing those commercials during the time of war. So I think, to me, that kind of feeds into what I was saying about the fact that it's not something that, you know, is usually, you know, they want to glorify or it'd be taken the wrong way, you know. So that's all I wanted to say about it. But I totally support the military and a strong defense and all of that.
Hey, thank you, Damon. I think that was a fantastic call. And it's great to, you know, bounce ideas off of each other. But I'm wondering, what's the difference if you go to a college game or an NFL game, or if you go see the Blue Angels or the Thunderbirds, if you're an Air Force guy, if you get the chance to see the Thunderbirds, and I've been fortunate to see both, but there's not a whole lot. I mean, there is a difference in the fact that a parade would be going down streets and you'd probably have other types of military equipment and you'd be showing the soldiers walking down whatever street they end up having this on. It's almost like the parade in the skies so often. I mean, every Sunday in the NFL, there's always a flyover, and the Blue Angels are always flying down here, and I think it's a great show of patriotism.
And you know, really, the Blue Angels, the Thunderbirds, that is a recruiting tool.
I mean,
that is an Air Force recruiting tool, and if anything, that was what they were established for, was a recruiting tool, and to take the military, to take the Air Force, and to take the Navy, aviation to communities around the U.S. that may not, if you're doing a show, they're doing a show in Billings, Montana, they haven't had any exposure to naval aviation, and they're getting that.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Another one of those things that the military's kind of, you know, pared back their rules on, the tattoos thing, because for the longest time, of course, you couldn't have any visible tattoos, and it seems like they change with the times, and it's out of necessity. It's not maybe because military is saying, hey, it's time we change, what's up with this? It's because they have to in some instances.
Well, in the tattoo, I saw that personally from when I went through basic training at Fort Sill, Oklahoma in 2001. They made you line up, strip down to your shorts, and walk through a building where they had two guys standing there that would, if you had a tattoo, they would ask you about your tattoo, what it meant, that sort of thing. And you guys that had tattoos that potentially were on their hands, you know, that you could see,
mm-hmm.
they were on their hands, their neck, anything, they were disqualified. They couldn't serve. You couldn't serve. And now a lot of that's gone by the wayside. You see people with all kinds of tattoos.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines and head to line one here and talk to Jonathan in Bay Minette. Hey, Jonathan, how are you doing?
Hey, Jonathan.
I'm doing great, guys. Hey, I was listening to the other caller's comments about the military parade, and this is one of the things that irks me. I was in the Army, did 9 years.
Thank you for your service.
And what irks me is when people are like, well, I love the military, but, you know, they want to throw politics. You know, the military should be separate from politics. I mean, there's tons of people that are in it. They're on both sides. It's probably the most diverse melting pot in the United States is in the military, because you'll have people from every region of the country that come together to serve together and put their personal beliefs aside. But as far as a military parade for them, do it. Do it every day. They can. They never get enough praise. I know I was in there. You watch the news during the time of war, and you've got just negative after negative after negative coming from the majority of the news networks, you're seeing it over there overseas because they got it blaring in the chow hall every time you come in, and you're so degraded, you're so depressed. The military was gutted by equestrianization. I mean, why not? Why not say, hey, you know what? Let's bring y'all out. Let's show everybody how much we care, how much we love y'all, and just do a parade and just let everybody rally around it. And if you don't want to support the military, don't show up.
Hey, I think a lot of people can echo that sentiment, Jonathan. We'll come back to the phone lines when we get back. 251-343-0106. Midday Mobile rolls on this Thursday, August 2nd.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Chip Brown and Dalton Orwig sitting in for you today. Midday Mobile.
Uh-huh. Sean Sullivan taking a little bit of time off.
Much needed time off after covering the brutal primary and runoff season here. We had some, we had some really close races in the locally.
Mm-hmm.
Had the circuit judges race with Brandy Hambright and Harry Satterwhite, and then that House District 102 race with Willie Gray and Sean Stringer.
Yeah, and we sat in here for that. I guess when they counted the provisional ballots for that race, it was a week later. Between Willie Gray and Shane Stringer, and we had the live stream up. That's one of the things that I guess it's good, some bad about all these live videos that are always popping up, and I just get so many notifications from local news and national news that they're doing live video. But when before have you been able to watch live the counting of the provisional ballots? And it ended up not being as exciting as I thought it was going to be.
Well, and you know, there were so many races this year that were close. You had there's another race in Alabama. I'm trying to think what house district that is.
Mm-hmm.
But the woman's name is Debbie Hamby Wood.
Okay.
And she won by 7 votes.
Holy cow.
7 votes. Wow. Out of, I think there were 5,000 votes cast.
And one of the major topics was about the turnout and how low it was for so many of the counties around here. I think Mobile was around 9%. Baldwin County a little bit higher. I feel like they were around 15%. But statewide, it was 12%. What do you think is keeping people from going out to the polls? Do you think they're just worn out from politics sometimes with all the national news?
I think that happens. And I think too, if you look at the Senate race was so brutal and so just sapped energy from people.
Yeah.
and you know, that combined with really locally we had 2 judicial races and then just a handful of house races, so there weren't a lot of races on the ballot. And then back in the primary we had massive rain during the primary. I mean, it was like tropical storm type rain, and I was in Grand Bay early that morning, was sitting at a polling place, and maybe 7 people came in an hour.
Holy cow.
You know, I thought we might get 100 voters, but I think Mobile County in the primary hit around 21-22%, but it was because of the rain. I mean, I know it was because it was disproportionate to the rest of the state.
Okay. And you mentioned the Senate race. I want to get back to that in just a little bit, talk about one of the current sitting senators, Doug Jones, and where he might go on this Brett Kavanaugh confirmation. But we've also been discussing some local issues. And if you want to give us a call, 251-343-0106, that's exactly what Kevin and Mo Beal did. And Kevin wants to talk about where the city's focusing their money. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, gentlemen. How we doing? Enjoying all the topics today. Yeah, you know, you've seen a lot of people the last few weeks talking about the stadium at South Alabama, which I'm a graduate. I love Jags. Go Jags. And then you were talking about the Bayway, which has been a topic for a few years. But as of yesterday, I think that the city leaders need to refocus on a couple of things. One being our drainage issues, problems, big time. Our streets, I mean, they're horrible. We're out trying to, the politics, try to bring these industries to Mobile, good-paying jobs. But one of the things that these, you know, companies look at, they look at the infrastructure of the city. They look at your drainage, they look at your housing, they look at your educational facilities. We're lacking in all of those there. So, you know, as much as I want Mobile to prosper, I think that our city leaders need to sit down and refocus before they start sending millions of dollars or asking for millions of dollars to do these projects. With, you know, charity starts in the home. And the citizens of Mobile, we deserve better right now. And this has been a problem forever. The two places that have never had enough money are your local government and your school board. They've been broke forever. So if that's the case, there's a problem in the infrastructure in the city. And so before we start going out and trying to build these federal highways and stuff, we need to take care of our roads, bridges, and our drainage right here first. There was guys kayaking on Government Street yesterday. I'm sure that people would love to see that. Let's move here. So I think that's the way that we need to be promoting the city right now. What say you?
Well, I you know, on the drainage issue, that's been an issue in Mobile since 1702. You know, Mobile is a low city, and you ride down Government Street, Midtown in particular. It's always been an issue, and it's something that always needs to be improved. You know, on the bridge, you brought up the bridge. The issue with the bridge, I'll be honest with you, years ago, say 20 years ago when I first heard about the bridge, I thought, well, we don't need a bridge. But then when you start looking at the economic impact, current and potential, that it could have on the region, we do need that bridge. And we need that bridge because that'll open up. You have things like, in my district, in House District 105, you have Walmart, you have Amazon. Well, they've got to get their goods to market. And if the holdup is Mobile, the bottleneck is on, that is the one bottleneck on the I-10 corridor all the way from Jacksonville, Florida to Los Angeles, is Mobile, Alabama. And that's the corridor that holds everything up. So if you can't get your goods to market, then why go to Mobile? Why not go to another city that you don't have to use that particular part of I-10? So
I'll agree. You've got, you know, 10 and 65 in two major thoroughfares throughout the United States. But for years around the Saraland area, they were talking about a bypass loop taking it out towards Sims and then coming out around Grand Bay, Dawes area right there. That kind of makes sense. I'll agree with you 100%. There's a problem there on the causeway. There's a problem there on the bayway. George Wallace Tunnel is a horrible design. We know that. Those need to be taken care of. That's more on a state's federal issue. Here in town, though, for years and years, like, say, Government Street, Dawes, Midtown, even out in West Mobile now, they've got drains collapsing and things. So those are problems right there that we need to address for the city. The other thing, I'll agree 100%, we've got to fix that. But right now, infrastructure needs to be, I think, number one with the mayor and the council, and they all need to come together on that and fix those for Mobile.
Totally understand where you're coming from. I really do. It's important, and it's one of those issues that, as you said, companies look at when they come into the region. You have to have great schools, great infrastructure, crime rate, everything. It's a total package, and you know, our infrastructure has to be top-notch.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Kevin. And like politics, like so many stories and decisions that are made in politics, finding that fine line between the sexy story, the story that everybody wants to talk about, you know, football stadiums, bridges, and then the menial stuff that maybe isn't as fun to talk about, like drainage systems. I mean, that's got to be tough for everybody from your city council member to county commission member to mayor, you know?
Well, and you know, you get out in the county, and I live in the county. I'm in an unincorporated area. And you get out in the county and you have, you know, Jerry Carl and those county commissioners that represent rural areas. I can't imagine. I mean, because the infrastructure in the county with, you know, we have open ditches. I have an open ditch in front of my house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that type of drainage, it's so overwhelming. We live in such a large area that I don't think there would ever be the money to fix all of those issues.
I think one of the issues that needs to be one of the big topics is drainage overflows or sewage overflows. It seems like every time we have a...
I had one yesterday.
Every time the rain comes down, just like yesterday, it seems like a Mobile Baykeeper sending out a notice or somebody else letting you know, all right, we have more sewage in the water. And that's a topic that Sean Sullivan likes to rail on a lot, and I'm right there with him. You don't want your city to be known or your area to be known as the place that always overflows with sewage when it rains. So that's just another one of those topics that's kind of right in line there with the drainage.
That's exactly right. I mean, you don't, you know, there was a time when then it was okay for piers, people that own piers on Mobile Bay, on both sides of the bay, to have toilets on their pier and just flush right into the bay. And thankfully, those days are over, but our sanitation you're constantly hearing stories of overflows, and where does that water go? It ends up in Dog River, it ends up in Fowl River, you know, Three Mile Creek, and all that leads to Mobile Bay, which has a detrimental impact on oysters and shrimp and everything.
Yeah, our economy.
Our economy and our quality of life. You know, you don't want to be, you don't want to live in an area where you can't get in the water because you might get flesh-eating bacteria, get Vibrio.
Vibrio.
And there was a case the other day, a guy from the Mobile River that came down with Vibrio. And, you know, it's just a quality of life. You want to be able to swim in the bay. The bay needs to be clean. It needs to be pure so that companies will come here and people want to live here.
Yeah, 100%. Let's go back to the phone lines, 343-0106, if you want to give us a call. And Jason in Mobile. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Hey, Jason.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All right, doing good today. How about you?
Awesome. Doing fine. Hey, listen, just talking about some of the recent city developments, I guess, with, you know, I'm 45, and I'm curious as to whether or not I'll see it in my lifetime, but I grew up on what they called Navco Road, and a lot of my family grew up on Dauphin Island Parkway. Well, with, you know, the airport moving out there and the reconstruction of downtown Mobile and, you know, just a lot of stuff going on down there, can I hope to maybe see in my lifetime the comeback, you know, based on all that economic growth, the comeback of like Dauphin Island Parkway and those kind of areas that waterfront property has just really suffered a grotesque degradation, you know, over the years?
I hope so.
I do too.
I would love to see it. I tell you what, you can see the potential for Dauphin Island Parkway.
It's got to be there.
I ride that. I live on the end of Dauphin Island Parkway. I live down on Hollinger's Island, and
yeah.
You know, so I'm constantly going back and forth on Dauphin Island Parkway, and you know, with Airbus and those sort of things happening at Brooklee, there's so much potential for that area being improved, and you know, you can see it with the crepe myrtles on the sides of the road.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's just going to take a big effort, I think, to...
It's going to take a long time, and I'm just wondering, you know, if it would happen in my lifetime and what the process is. I mean, is that property going to have to be bought back from the individuals who are there now? And
well, I think what you're going to have is you're going to have developers that have a vision and want to buy into the process and work with the city and the county in shopping centers and residential developments and that sort of thing. And it needs to be, you know, when you look at an area that has some issues, you need to have a plan that's a 5, 10, 15, 50-year plan of where it's going to go. And you know, that area suffered so much after Brooklee left that it just started a slow decline. But I think it's coming back. I really do. You're starting to see things. I mean, I shop at Food Champs on Dauphin Island Parkway. That's my grocery store. And I think it's heading in the right direction. I really think so.
Hey, we appreciate the call, Jason. I got to run to the break right now, and we'll come back on the other side. And I did want to talk about Doug Jones and the rest of the senators that are going to be voting on this Brett Kavanaugh confirmation. You mentioned a date earlier. I know they're trying to get it done before the general.
October 1st.
October 1st may be the time we're talking about. Will Doug Jones vote yes or no? We'll discuss that when we come back on the other side of the break. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Orwig. Chip Brown sitting in for Sean Sullivan today.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
1:53 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Midday Mobile. I'm Dalton Orwig. Chip Brown sitting in for Sean Sullivan today. And Sean will be back very, very soon. We've had a lot of topics we've been discussing today. Talked about a lot of local news, that Ladd People Stadium, South's new stadium, the I-10 River Bridge, but we've also hit on some national topics, that defense spending bill that's headed towards President Trump's desk. That's been a big topic of discussion. But one thing I've been wanting to talk about with you, Chip, before we head off today, is this Brett Kavanaugh confirmation. And, of course, that is a huge deal, and I think it's, if not the top reason, one of the very top reasons that Trump won the election was that promise of Supreme Court justice picks and how important that is to both sides, but to conservatives, to get some conservatives on the Supreme Court. And that's why this confirmation is so important. And you mentioned earlier they're hoping to vote in October. Now, I know they were trying to get it done before the general election, but everybody in Alabama has wondered, what is the new senator going to do?
Doug Jones on this issue?
is he gonna side with the majority of his state, which might not be the majority of his votes that he got, but for sure the majority of Alabama would like for him to vote yes on that confirmation. But then you have Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and I just read the story about Elizabeth Warren, who says, yeah, it's an uphill battle, but we've won battles like this before. She seems to be saying that they think they can beat this Kavanaugh confirmation and wait until after the midterms before another justice is brought up. But Doug Jones, it seemed like he was delaying before he would let us know what he thought, what he was going to do with this, maybe waiting to see what the Democrats up there felt like he should do and wait for some letters coming in from Alabamians. But he did say, he did answer a little bit earlier this week where he said he wants to keep an open mind, which still isn't a direct answer.
Well, and you know, you already seen Joe Manchin, mm-hmm. you know, what's it, Amy Klobuchar and John Tester, those sorts of guys that are in districts, well, they're in Senate districts mm-hmm. and in states that were Trump wins. You know, Trump won those states, and they are potentially they're the ones that you could pick off. You know, those ones you pick off. Now, Doug Jones doesn't have to run again until 2020, mm-hmm. and I mean, I would tell Doug Jones vote for Brett Kavanaugh, because if you look at it on paper, I mean, Brett Kavanaugh is an experienced judge. He is a conservative, but he's someone that he's not an interpreter of the Constitution. He's a follower of the Constitution. And that's important. We live in a republic that the Supreme Court is not supposed to make law, but is supposed to rule on the constitutionality of law. And that's what Trump sees in him. And I think if Doug Jones is a smart man, he would side with the president on this one. It may hurt him a little bit with his base, mm-hmm. but he's got to look down the road at 2020, and they're lining up wanting to run against him.
And I'm sure the base is probably thinking about that too. You know, the people that are calling the shots for the Democrat Party, sure, they would like every Democrat to vote no and actually come out ahead on this and end up winning it. But if it looks like it'll be a yes, if it looks like, and the Republicans hold that slim majority, if they have all their numbers, then it should be a go. And if that's the case, and Doug Jones and these other Senate candidates or senators that are in these split states, if they vote no and they still lose, then that's lose-lose for them, almost in a way. But he's kind of, one of the comments he made was along the lines that all the other Democrats are saying, and that's they want all these documents that Kavanaugh's written turned over. And Kavanaugh's written, I mean, so many things in his career. I can't remember how, I feel like, and this has to be wrong, but like he's written over almost a million different things.
Wow.
And it seems like just another way to delay, to keep from having this vote happen.
Well, and that goes all the way back to Robert Bork. I mean, you watched in the, you know, Ted Kennedy, the term being borked comes from Ted Kennedy going after Robert Bork, who was a good man and was an educated man and was a constitutionalist, and just trashed him and ruined him, basically.
Yeah.
And that seems, unfortunately, that seems to be the tactic that they use nowadays, is that it doesn't matter how qualified you are, we're going to trash you, we're going to be against you because mm-hmm. of who nominated you. And I think that's unfortunate. And that really was unprecedented until Ted Kennedy did that to Robert Bork.
Well, it'll be fascinating to see how it turns out. And I know we'll be talking about it a whole lot more right here on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for coming in and filling in for Sean.
Hey, thank you, Dalton. I appreciate the opportunity. I love spending time with you, and I wish everyone a great day.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll be back in the morning anyway. I hope I'll be back. If I'm not, something's gone wrong. Somebody needs to pick me up off the side of the road. But 6 a.m. tomorrow, Mobile Mornings, we'll be back. But right now, Paul Feinbaum Show coming on FM Talk 106.5.